Happy fall, Odyssey fans. I'm Bob, producer of the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
And I'm Jesse, editor of Focus on the Family Clubhouse magazine. Welcome to our fall equinox celebration on the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast.
Remind me, what is the equinox again?
It's halfway between the longest and shortest day of the year. And it means day and night are the same length. Well, we're close enough, but more importantly, it's today, September 22nd.
So what are we doing to celebrate?
Well, I could get out my kazoo again. That was a real hit on the Averys.
Or
we could take a moment to bask in the wonder of God's creation and how he set up the season so perfectly.
Sounds great.
And speaking of seasons, this month on the club, we heard a story about a blizzard with the Calhoun family. That's not your usual September fare.
True, but there's a good reason. See, this month and the next three club adventures all deal with this blizzard in Odyssey. It's not a multi-parter exactly, but all four shows are happening at the same time.
That is unusual. It sounds like an Odyssey first.
It certainly is. And today on the podcast, I'm talking with writer-director Kathy Buchanan. She wrote the first adventure as well as the fourth and final episode in this saga.
And while you do that, I'm going to step outside and celebrate God and his awesome equinox some more. See you in a little bit.
Have fun. Kathy, let's rewind to the beginning. Where did the idea of doing four episodes about a blizzard in Odyssey come from?
Well, a couple times a year, the Odyssey writers get together for a creative meeting, for a week of creative meeting.
Always a fun time.
Always a very, very fun time. And so we're supposed to come with pitches or ideas of shows that we might want to write and see what the team thinks of them. So I was sort of mulling over, what could happen. And I'm starting to think through all the natural disasters that could happen. I mean, we've had tornadoes. We've done an earthquake show. We've had floods.
Yeah.
I mean, no volcanoes. Maybe we could do that sometime. But no tsunamis either. But I thought, well, we've had snow shows like Snow Day, but we haven't really had a snowstorm of this magnitude in Odyssey. And my original thought was it would be fun to have four shows that all happen at the same time in different parts of Odyssey. So when I pitched it, I thought, you know, we could have Jason discovering something in the antique store, or Wilson at Wilt's End telling a story because a bunch of kids are snowed in there. I thought about Lucia going to Penny's house to color her hair and then teaching her how to make enchiladas, and Penny loses her ring in the enchiladas. And Marshall just laughed at that one. He didn't even – nobody took that one. But and they came up with much better ideas. The team was wonderful, and they were on board with it. And so we started brainstorming different things that could happen during a snowstorm in Odyssey. And the funny thing is, we were in the midst of a snowstorm. Our meeting was in February,
We were
meeting at a conference center that was kind of in a more remote area of town. And so it was like, I mean, crazy snow outside. And also meeting that week, there had been a group of knitters, a knitting club, that we're going to do a few days of just knitting together. And so that actually inspired Phil Lawler to include a knitting club snowed in at the Timothy Center. So it's funny how, you know, we were inspired by our surroundings.
Now, the writers' meeting, the idea of brainstorming different ways to put this together,
mm-hmm. Yes.
It was a little bit different than we usually do. How did that happen, and how is it different from a normal show?
Well, it was interesting in that it was done concurrently and not sequentially. And so there were things that were happening in show four that actually took place before show one and show three. And so they were all on different timelines. And so we had to take this, we have these post-it notes, these like post-it notes for giants that we hang up on the wall to write down our ideas so everybody can see them. And we had to like basically take a diagram, like, okay, 8 a.m. on this day, this is what's happening, 9 a.m., 10 a.m., okay, the snow starts at 3 p.m., you know, and, you know, the vehicle gets stuck at this time, because we sort of realized as we were talking it through, well, this vehicle can't get stuck if it hasn't snowed yet, and this person wouldn't go missing if, you know, and the Calhouns wouldn't, or the doctor, Calhoun, wouldn't have had to get to the hospital until somebody gets hurt, you know. And so we had to figure out what was happening basically every hour of this 24-hour period.
And you did have one element that shows up in all the shows. Was that kind of the hub, and you worked out from there?
So there's one point in all the stories that takes place at the same time. And that is Kayla Calhoun is doing a weather report, and it's heard in all four shows. And so by that, you can kind of tell where it connects with all the other shows.
So with three different writers working on these shows, there had to be some bumps along the way. What were those bumps and how did you fix them?
Yes, there were bumps. You know, you in the writer's meeting, you all have basic ideas. And then as you're working on it, you're thinking, well, that doesn't really work. And maybe we should try this. And so we had to kind of keep going back and forth with each other, have a few Zoom meetings and, you know, figure out how we're going to make this all fit. Mm-hmm. There was one thing specifically that I had tried to implement into my show with the bicycle getting the phone to start working again.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted the entire family to be a part of this, like something that they really work together on using their strengths. And so the initial idea had been a potato that, because, you know, you can make energy out of a potato.
Right.
Or electricity out of a potato. And so I needed I need a tray to find a potato somewhere.
In a blizzard.
In a blizzard, you know. And so I'm like, hey, Marshall, could somebody drop a potato in your show? Would you mind just adding that in there? You know, like just kind of random things. And then Nathan Hubler, lord of all detail and logic, says, well, you can't even make enough energy to charge a cell phone with a potato anyway. So he didn't say it like that. He said it much nicer. So then we had to kind of go back to the drawing board, and I don't remember if it was him or somebody else or if I figured out we could do it with the bike. I think he sent me like a list of like 15 ways to make electricity. And so I just used one of those. But then, yeah. So there was things that, you know, we had to change around.
But, you know, if the writers on our team, if nothing, they're flexible, right? I mean, you guys are always giving each other ideas and fine tuning things.
We are.
You try
I'm
to
so
be.
Glad.
I know.
I think so. I'm really thankful that we work on a team so we can, you know, just bounce ideas off each other and help each other brainstorm. That's always a helpful thing.
Well, when you think about the creative process, we've talked to Marshall about creating the Perkins family. He's largely the one who's behind that.
Yep.
You were the one who came up with the Calhouns,
yes,
which is kind of cool. I've really enjoyed them. I think the fans have too from the things I've read. Now, some of these families on Odyssey have been introduced fully formed. Mm-hmm. The Barclays, the Parkers, the Washingtons, they all show up together in the same episode. Not the Calhouns. We met Joseph first in the two-part refugee drama In a Sun-Scorched Land, and then Cooper and then Kayla and Trey. How much of the family was in your mind when Joseph showed up in the Sun-Scorched Land episode?
I knew I wanted him to be the father of a family. I don't think I knew exactly at that point how many kids and all that, but I really loved that character. And when the actor came in, Phil Morris, who we've worked with numerous times, he's just such a warm and he was person, and he really loved that story. And he had kind of a background that he was very familiar with that type of story, and he seemed like a perfect fit to be in that family and to build that family around him. But he was the original start to that.
So let's talk about the other members of the family and how they arrived at just the right time.
Well, Cooper showed up in Page from the Playbook, and then Trey and Kayla were introduced in the show Good Job. Now, Trey at that point was played by an actor that ended up not really working just because he sounded too old for that part. He actually sounded even older than his brother once we did a playback of it. So we ended up recasting that part with a wonderful actor, Paul McCall Williams. Mm. And I've just loved how the family has melded together. And I love each actor that plays a part in that.
So is it true that Kayla was not Kayla at the beginning? She had a different name.
Well, when I wrote the first draft, she was named Callista, and I started having second thoughts about it. So I actually sent Dave Arnold a whole list of names that we could use instead. And we settled between Callista and Kayla. And I liked Kayla just a bit better. He liked Callista just a little bit better. So we asked the actress in the studio mm-hmm. and said, which one do you like better? And she said Kayla.
So that's where it came from.
That's where we landed.
Very good. So how did you decide what each of the other family members was going to be like? Did you write up a family history, even though they entered at different places?
Well, it actually is. It started with my son, who plays football, who loves football. Mm-hmm. And for ever since he started listening to Odyssey, has asked, are there any football shows? And he likes the basketball ones. He's okay with the baseball ones, but he really wanted a football show. And so I told him that I would write him a football show. And so I needed a football player. And we had wanted to start a new family anyway. Or we wanted to create a new family anyway. And I thought this would be fun because we don't really have that athlete in Odyssey anymore. We've had some in the past, but we currently didn't. And so, you know, I decided to make Cooper this super athlete. And as often happens in a family, the younger one doesn't necessarily become like the older one. And so there's often between siblings some kind of tension in what they're good at and trying to be like the older sibling but not measuring up. And so I decided to play off of that and make Trey just totally different from
right.
Cooper.
Yeah.
I also decided on two boys, well, because I have two boys, and because we hadn't had a family with two boys. We've had two girls, we've had a boy and a girl, we've had two girls and a boy. And so it was just a combination that we hadn't had before.
Well, I'm glad because I'm one of two boys.
And so, perfect. Great.
Yes,
I did
yes.
it for you.
I appreciate that. What took you so long? Well, back to Joseph's introduction in A Sun Scorched Land.
Yeah.
He came and connected with, we're going to make a little bit of a spoiler for people who have not heard that episode mm-hmm. yet, but we knew what his...
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor. That's right. We found that out at the end. Mm-hmm. That was critical to his introduction. Mm-hmm. How did you decide that Kayla was going to be a meteorologist?
Because we hadn't had one on the show yet.
Okay.
So, I mean, at first the question was, is she going to have a career outside the home or is she going to be a stay-at-home mom? I was trying to think of an interesting job for her, and I thought a meteorologist might be kind of fun since we haven't had one of those on the show yet. And so I actually went to our local news station and talked to the meteorologist and got to be a part of watching a morning forecast on the news, and which was very interesting. And I learned a lot about what Kayla would do in her job, and which was different actually than what I thought, and how a news show works and things like that, that will help me develop her more as a character when we see her more in her job.
Cool. Of course, club members mm-hmm. this month got a chance to get a look inside of a newsroom, and Matt Meister,
yes.
one of the local broadcasters, not the same one that you talked with,
right.
but he did a wonderful job for us on our video.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are curious about what that looks like, they can always check out the club video this month.
Yeah.
Well, this is a show, going back to The Snow Must Go On, it has a lot of action in it, from a minor car crash to a wild toboggan ride. Great stuff for a movie, but here we are, we're a radio mm-hmm. show. What's a writer's trick for making this action less visual and making sure we can kind of see it without seeing it?
It's interesting you say that because the most predominant note I had on my outline, which just to give you, you know, some context for that, whenever, you know, as writers, we write an outline first and then we send it out to all the team members to give notes on it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody wrote, it's so visual. It's way visual. And so, which, yeah, it is definitely a challenge because you want the audience to be able to see what's happening and not be confused, like, wait, what's going on? And you also don't want somebody to say, hey, we just rolled over a ditch and, you know, or we just slid off the road or, you know, or this toboggan is going over
so
a bridge right
that
now.
It's
yes.
not real, right?
And so, yeah. Right. And so it's, so it is a bit of a challenge, but I was so happy with how the family worked together and really created that, that sense of being able to see what's going on, with just the way that their vocalizations and efforts and the lines that they added in there, because it is difficult to think about, okay, make I'm sliding off the road zones. You know, like, what do you say when you're sliding off the road, you know, and things like that. So they were great to work with. Now, it really was a challenge in directing that show, because it was the first time that we had the whole family together, and it was during COVID, and we couldn't go out to California to direct everybody in person. So I was directing remotely in Colorado Springs, and then all the actors were in separate studios, either in their home or at their university. And so they couldn't even see each other, which is also helpful when you're directing action, because then everybody can be at their mics. If we were in person doing it, they would be at their mics and they could look at me in the control room and I could give them hand signals for, okay, we're hitting a hill now, or I would put them by hand to like stop everybody from their shouts. But instead they sort of had to like read each other, you know, through their earphones, you know, mm-hmm. and figure out where are we going to stop and how, you know, what's our sled doing and things like that. So it was, they did a great job, but it was definitely, a challenge directing it, but the actors were great. And I have to say, so much of this, when you're talking about making a script visual, has to do with the sound designer. And yeah. Luke Gounod did a fantastic job on it, because really he's the one that makes the sound of the toboggan and the car, you know, going off the road and, you know, all these other things that are happening. And he's the one that creates that image in our heads.
Yeah, he is a relatively new member of our team, but has mm-hmm. already jumped in and done an yes. amazing job.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, without spoiling anything, because there are big surprises mm-hmm. ahead, what can you tell us about the upcoming Blizzard shows?
Well, without spoiling too much, mm-hmm. I can say that Phil Lawler writes the second one, and it includes the Knitting Club, like yes. I mentioned earlier. And the third one is written by Marshall Younger, and it may or may not include a group of characters stuck on a bus.
Okay. Something to look forward
mm-hmm.
to.
Yes.
Well, Kathy, thanks so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you. It's always
for doing
fun.
The bookends, the first and the fourth, are yours. And
yes.
We look forward maybe to talking with you a little bit more when we get to that number.
I'd love it. That'd be great.
All right. Take care.
Great interview, Bob.
Thanks, Jess. And our listeners can celebrate the equinox by listening to The Snow Must Go On in the club right now.
And you can hear the next Blizzard story, So On and Snow Forth, in a few days on October 1st.
Let's hear a preview of the first one, the one with the Calhoun family, now.
This month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club, a blizzard strikes the town.
A winter storm warning is in effect through tomorrow.
Dr. Calhoun has to get to the hospital.
A minor came in with a traumatic brain injury and needs a specialized procedure.
But he can't get there on his own.
You'll never get there if you have to keep digging yourself out.
Mom's right.
And I mean, I'm a pretty great shoveler. You should use my skills.
All right, get in.
Join the Calhoun family as they brave a bone-chilling blizzard this month on the Adventures in Odyssey Club.
Well, that's all for this edition of the official Adventures in Odyssey podcast, a presentation to Focus on the Family. Our website is adventuresinodyssey.com.
You can join the club at aioclub.org, or you can call us at 1-800-A-FAMILY. I'm Bob.
And I'm Jesse, reminding you that with God in your life, every day's an adventure.
Focus on the Family and Adventures in Odyssey present the Imagination Station Books, an exciting series for readers ages 6 and up. Through Wit's greatest invention, young readers will travel to the Colosseum in ancient Rome and a longboat in Greenland.
I am Eric the Red.
They're Vikings.
And there's so much more. When you visit theimaginationstation.com, you can find study guides and devotionals, plus fun family activities. More information at theimaginationstation.com or 1-800-A-FAMILY.